March 24, 2024, it's the Wofford Pete Rose Show.
Now that by sending love and gratitude to all life in this infinite universe, we are performing a divine service to all life, and that there is appreciation for our service from all life, everywhere in the universe. And now, as we gaze out into the universe beyond, with joy, I am sending you all my love. And all my gratitude.
Watt from Pedro Show. Happy Sunday. I'm going to start the Missing Men album today. For real. With Tom Watson. Before that, it's just been me and Raul. But now, all three of us are going to start today. Noon. But first, people, I get to do this show with Daniel Huffman. He's made a beautiful new album. New Fumes. We start off the show with Mr. PC. This is a live excerpt from John Coltrane, November 22, 1962. And then the first tune. We'll be playing all the tunes in order. Appropriately, you can tell I'm not in man alone mode because of that noise there all the way from Dallas. Arrival. So welcome aboard, Daniel Huff.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wow, there's a little static now on your side.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't here before.
Oh, no.
Okay.
You can try again?
Yeah, now you're all quiet.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah, that's good.
A little better there?
Yeah, that's good. It's as far as noise, it's much better. I'll just turn up the level.
Okay.
Tell me about the new album.
Man, I started that one back when I was making the other album that I released in 2017.
Yeah, I remember, but I wanted you to say that.
Yeah, we talked about that album a few years ago.
When you were last on the show.
Yeah.
And by the way, we got to give Mr. Tom credit because he was the connect. He put out that New Fumes album.
Yeah, Tom Feck. He's
great
awesome.
Cat out of Pittsburgh, people.
Yeah, love him. Yeah, he's awesome.
Me too. Very inspiring. It was trippy to learn from you that he's just doing video game music now.
Well, I don't know that for sure, but he did tell me he's doing video game music now. So.
You know, he mentioned something like that to me too. The last time I was in Pittsburgh, he couldn't come to the gig because he was too busy. But the guy's just a monster force in my music universe.
Oh, yeah, he's a big inspiration.
And I can hear a little bit, you know, how you form some stuff. The way you, you have your own thing, but I could see how, you're a student. And also, I hear some of the, I'll let you speak for yourself. Let's talk about, you were planning this baby in 2017.
Yeah, I was already working on it over time. Actually, one of the songs I started when I was touring with Tobacco, I was working on it. And the band, you know, like just driving down the road to the next gig, just
like on a crap job.
Yeah, just just killing time in the car. Just well,
I don't know if you're killing time. If you're helping make a record, it's kind of productive.
Yeah. I'm trying to, I can stare out the window for a while. I love that, but working on stuff keeps me going.
Counting telephone poles. I've taken cats on tour. That makes them sick. In fact, they don't know how to bounce a book, so when they're trying to read, they get sick. Because you have to. Yeah, it's like getting sea legs with your eyeballs.
Yeah, I've been on boats before on pretty rough seas, and my dad and I were the only ones that did get sick on the boat.
I got to say, when I took Thurston to Catalina, man, he fucking swabbed the decks with his puke. He puked.
Oh,
so. In fact, they had to bust out. He locked the hatch to the head, and they had to bust in to get him out, and he was
green, man.
Yeah, so, okay, so you're doing this while you're actually working on it while you're touring with Mr. Tom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a song, Homeworld Master Plan. I started that in the van with Tom.
Okay, Homeworld, that's a bitch one. What about this one, Arrival? I mean, did you have a concept for the whole baby? Because Arrival sounds to me, it's also the name of the first episode of The Prisoner. I don't know if you're hip to that. 1968-67 show from England. Patrick McGowan is, when I was a boy, my favorite thing. And there were 17 episodes, and they called the first one Arrival.
No, I'll have to check that out. Sounds interesting.
Anyway, we don't really know the order. It wasn't really the way they made it. It came out in different sequences. But Arrival's always first. So I'm wondering, were you thinking, I got to,
No, I wasn't. I mean, I think I just had a feeling in me, and I was trying to get it out. And I didn't really have a concept per se, but a concept sort of formed over the time. And I think the concept probably started hitting me around 2018 or 19 more heavily. Like I was waking up in the morning, and things were just coming to me, and I would just start working on it.
But you said Homeworld Master Plan, so maybe that was the first baby? Because that ends up the second song on the record.
Yeah, that might have been... That was probably the first... Well, there's another song later on the second half of the album that I was working on at the same time I was working on the Teeming Two stuff, the last album, where I was up in the studio, up in the Flaming Lips studio in Oklahoma City, and working on a song that I didn't end up using on the Teeming album, but I just kind of brought that back and worked on it a little bit more. So it probably really goes back to about 2015.
Wow.
Or 16 with that song. But then the rest of it was, you know, I think I started, what is the song called? Laser Dreams.
Yeah.
Which you killed it on that. I mean, thank you so much for that bass line. It's awesome.
Well, the one that you really, where you used me, where I really dig was the Kali.
Okay.
Kali Yuga.
Born in the Kali Yuga.
Yeah, I mean, you really, I mean, because it's trippy, because, like, I'm informed by your track, and then it seemed like you took that and changed it, evolved.
Yeah, I just took your,
yeah,
your bass line and made a whole other part.
But I would have never came up with that bass line if it wasn't for your tune.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know how they inform each other? So Teeming is a great title.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I really enjoyed the collaboration. It's not, you were super generous, so, you know, thank you so much.
Yeah, but in a way, it was like Petri dish, you know, classroom time for what? You know, how can I help Daniel here, aiding a bet? Because I think that's when the bass is working the best, when it's gluing stuff together, you know?
Yeah.
Let's play Homeworld Master.
Maybe one way trip would fourth floor. Sky turning pink to mauve about men, and with her finger gesturing, she says, they worm their way in, she says, they worm their way back in all my Saturdays. Our mystical realm, all my Saturdays. Our mystical realm. Driving down the one way, hear myself say, like a rat in the gully, he'll find a gap and then he'll be in, she said. And with the grin, oh my Saturdays, our mystical round, oh my Saturdays, our mystical round. Sitting by the back door, sun pouring in, holding a ruby up to the sun and thinking, sold, I read, sold on the threshold, oh come, oh please, come listen, come little thrushes, hopping round. Saturdays are
The big wall clock in the lobby had stopped, but not recently. I'd have guessed it was midnight if I'd given it any thought. Behind the desk, a bat fly droned in nervous circles, occasionally bumping a jade green lamp, and settled on an ancient yellowed sign, "Linens Changed Daily." It was a small lie, but nobody ever stayed long enough to find out. Nobody but me. Chip Steele, House Dick. First thing I know, the lobby is getting crowded with coppers. A couple of buttons from L.A. Homicide, Dud Malloy and Slate Shaunis, sniffing the air like a brace of bulldogs, making faces like they couldn't quite place the smell, but not liking it all the same. I stopped pretending to read the paper when Malloy's black Morgan turned into view and looked up. Malloy jerked his chin at me 5 or 6 times. "Something bothering you, copper?" I tried to make it sound breezy. "Call just come in. Seems one of these high-class customers of yours kind of squibbed some bimbo up in 14. Who's checked up there tonight?" "Beats me, Malloy. Why don't you check the register? Or hadn't you thought of that? Cut the snappy patter, Steele, and come clean. Say, keep on cracking wise, and I'll shut this flop down and you with it, Bo. That's Jake with me, Flatfoot. Suit yourself." Malloy spat the last half inch of a smoldering cigar on the worn brown carpet and ground it out. "Shaughnessy, check with the night clerk. Me and the peeper is going upstairs. Lead the way, bright boy." I opened the door with my pass key. It looked like every other room. Cheap, mission-style furniture. A dresser nobody used and a bed everybody had. A rickety end table, scarred with cigarette burns and cloudy circles. A broken-down horsehair sofa. She was sprawled across that. She could have been catching up on her beauty sleep, but her eyes were open wide. She could have been thinking of better days, but her arm was twisted behind her back. She could have been doing lots of things, but what she was dead. "Nice looking frail, eh, Peeper? Could have stood me some of this stuff all right. Geez, nice material, too." Malloy pawed her with a big rough hand. "Cut the comedy, Malloy. Besides, she looks like too much woman for you." Too much she was. A honey blonde, maybe a shade under 5'10", most of which from where I stood looked like legs. A pair of alligator pumps with hypodermic heels lay next to a small blue revolver. Malloy picked up the Gatlin in a moderately clean handkerchief. I pocketed the pumps. 32. Not a big gun, but it should have made quite a racket. So how's come you ain't heard nothing? Not that I'm the suspicious type, mind. It seems queer as all. Take a gander at that pillow, Sherlock. That's no moth hole. My mouth had gone dry as dust at the thought of getting the pumps back to my flat. My, my. Still the sleuth, huh? Malloy flipped the pillow over. In the center of a small brownish stain, stuffing dribbled out. Malloy stood up slowly, dropped the 32 in his coat pocket, and holding the pillow by a corner, motioned toward the door. "Let's breathe, buddy boy. We'll call the coroner from the lobby. I'll run this stuff downtown and let the boys in the lab handle it. Oh, and before I forget, there's one more little thing." "What might that be, copper? Don't leave town? Button the lip? Keep my nose clean? Put them shoes back, you geek." Three cups of Joe, a deputy coroner, and fingerprint crew later, I was back in the lobby. Sunk in a badly stained leather armchair. I lit my last Derezky Minor and crushed the package. I thought about Clarice. She had strolled into my office, back when I had an office, wearing a translucent white summer dress and a modest hat that was probably no larger than a manhole cover. Her eyes were hidden behind a pair of tortoise-framed glasses, so thick and dark they could have been cut from inkwells. She had, she said, a little job for me. Then she doffed the cheaters and regarded me coolly with the greenest eyes I wish I'd never seen. She was trouble. I thought about a knife and a bar, and I thought about gimlets. Cool green gimlets. Cool and green. Green and cool. Green. Steel. 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 Hey, Steel, wake up, keyhole peeper. It was Malloy, looking for the moment much larger than life. He was kicking my shin, rhythmically, but not without a copper's enthusiasm for the job. Chase yourself, copper. It wasn't Hemingway, but it did the job. Get with it, you Fargo. You and me got a date downtown. We want you to rubber some mug shots. I let Malloy drag me up out of the chair and across the lobby. The squad car was parked carelessly. One fat tire on the sidewalk, diagonal to the curb. Shaughnessy was behind the wheel. I tumbled into the back seat and reached into my pocket for a smoke. Came up empty, thought about the gimlets. The big Chrysler roared into the street, and Malloy gave me the lowdown. The boys downtown got a make on the heater. 32 caliber Browning, blued steel, one round fire, four live ones in the cylinder. They tied the gat to one of the slugs they dug out of Pinky Samoa, if you remember the Collins Moonstone heist. We got Grub Falco's mob bigger for the caper, but strictly unofficial, we figure Falco's hophead wheelman for the Samoa bar. The jittery spit name of Dom Casual, alias Trigger Domingo. Ring any bells, peeper? Hear any Malloy? But I had seen him all right, and not 2 hours ago, using the public phone in the lobby. We rode quietly for a while. Shaughnessy was humming Riders in the Sky. It was almost enough to make me a Vaughn Monroe fan, but not quite. Malloy was preoccupied, conducting a thoughtful inventory of his teeth with the tip of his tongue, when the two-way radio crackled to life.
All fares in the vicinity of 125th and Central. Be on the lookout for Trigger Domingo. Spick looks like a Dago, 58135. Proceed with caution. Suspect should be considered armed and dangerous. All packed up and no place to go.
Shoot first and ask questions later, eh, Malloy? It's so easy to close a case when you skip the formalities. I muttered it to myself, but some cops have a keen ear for sarcasm. Button up, saphead. Step on it, Shaughnessy, 125 and Central. I make that Velma's black and tan. Shaughnessy twisted the wheel and gunned the big motor. We were 15 minutes from the address and made it in five. Two squad cars were stopped in the street in front of a nondescript two-story building. The sidewalk was crowded with spectators, jostling each other and craning their necks for a better view of the proceedings. A stuttering neon sign made a simple promise. Girls! Malloy was out of the car before we stopped rolling. I followed him, elbowing my way through the laughing, chattering crowd, through an open door that was once glass but was boarded up with peeling plywood. I took the stairs two at a time to Malloy's three, up to a landing. A narrow hallway punctuated on either side by doorways hung with gaudy beaded curtains ended in a closed door. A single bare bulb illuminated the group of men huddled there, listening to the soft sound of a woman's voice pleading in Spanish, cursing in English. The coppers had found their man. Behind the door, somebody's face got slapped and a woman screamed. Malloy had heard enough. Listen up, Greaseball. We got a plenty of law out here. House to be smart and give it up. Something exploded in the room. The top of the door shuddered, coughed, spat splinters into the hallway. A hole, chest high and ragged, showed yellow light through the door. We flattened out against the wallpaper, and if anybody was breathing, I couldn't hear it. There was a brief struggle behind the door, and some more faces got slapped. A gun we couldn't see spoke three short words, chewed new holes, and trailed off in an ellipsis. Click, click, click. Malloy grinned at me, a lecherous leer of big yellow teeth and rancid breath. Kicked the lock plate with a grunt, and the door swung wide on one hinge, exposing a rectangle of artificial light. Malloy stood in the doorway, his big black gun jumped in his hand like a rabid Doberman on a short chain, barking lead and death. Maybe Velma was trying to shield Dom with her small brown body. Maybe she just wanted to hold him one last time. Either way, she had to die first. Malloy put one in the small of her back, and she crumbled to the carpet with a hushed, dry rustle, a crinoline whisper. Dom still stood, his empty gun snapping uselessly as he frantically squeezed the trigger. Malloy's Big 45 jumped again, sending Dom against the wall with a thud. His knees buckled under him, and he clawed his way down the wall, kneeling as if he'd suddenly gotten very tired. It was quiet. Malloy's breath was coming fast, a rasping reptilian sound. He held his gun in a white-knuckled fist and surveyed the room, looking for something, anything to shoot. Keeper, keep an eye on boyfriend. Call's gotta be made. Okay, boys, back to work. Show's over. Malloy herded the cops down the stairs. I was tired. I crossed the shabby room and raised a tattered shade. In an hour, the sun would be peering over the foothills to the east. But now a false dawn created a washed-out light in the street below, a lifeless spectrum of light and dark grays. Fog rolled in off the bay, smuggling a rotted seaweed smell. The endless low buildings looked like anonymous markers in a vast graveyard. But I'd had worse nights.
light came through the window. Mm-hmm. All right. I saw this bright light, and then all of a sudden, it's just, there they were.
Walk from Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with New Fumes, doing Home World Master Plan. Then we had the Dream Thief's Snowphonic Neither Art nor Orchestra. It starts with N, people. Winner in Amnesica for Ingram Marshall, Fourth Movement. This is how this Eugene Organ, what do they call it, the difficult music kind of stuff. These guys, Randolph Carter and Graham from England, really interesting stuff. Maxime Funk after that, Saturdays, Van Conner, great bass man that we lost last year. Legacy Green, Zach Rosen, All in Time, Mama's Prendin, Murder, Inc. That's with a K, people, not with a C. Lucky Luciano, that was his Gumi, huh? And then finally, New Fumes, Love All the Way. Keep going. Where was Love All the Way in the arc of the development?
Probably near the beginning, middle, maybe. That one was inspired by a sticker that somebody gave me. It's like, you know, it's like you just make your own stickers.
Oh, yeah.
And a coworker of mine, a real sweet young girl that I work with sometimes, was giving out these stickers to all of her coworkers and friends. It was just it looked like it was drawn with glue, but it was a smiley face, and it just said, keep going.
Whoa.
And I loved the feeling that sticker gave me. I mean, I would just look at that sticker and say, this sticker just makes me feel so good.
Really, and optimistic, right?
Very optimistic.
And, even though there might be all kinds of hell up.
Yeah, exactly. And then I just was inspired by the feeling that the sticker gave me, so I just... That song just sort of just plopped out of me just from that feeling.
I don't know if you answered this, but when was Arrival? It wasn't really composed first, but...
It was somewhere in the beginning. It started with the beat, and then I kind of added these kind of keyboard horn sounds, and it just sort of evolved from there.
Did a lot of the stuff start with beats?
A lot of it starts with beats and... If not beats, sometimes just loops and sounds. And
So the loops, they make like little ostinatos, little motifs?
Yeah, like there'll be a sound bed of loops or something, and I'll just start kind of jamming on that. Or if I have a beat that I like, I'll sometimes start with that, or even a bass line. A lot of it actually starts with bass.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And a bass guitar, or left hand on a keyboard? Or
Sometimes I'll just kind of like... Getting riffs with a bass, that's kind of where a lot of it...
You know, Mr. Tom bought a... I remember when he got a bass, he told me he got a bass. Because he played guitar, he told me, when he was into BMX bicycles as a kid.
Uh-huh.
Then he went and bought a bass, because it reminded him of the monophonic fat synth.
Yeah.
Because he's really into these analog synths. He said the only problem really was keeping them in tune.
Yeah. I could see that. He's got a really impressive little curated collection. really cool and sometimes very expensive things.
Yeah, yeah. He was telling me how some of this old stuff, which was Econo in the day, whoa, it's big coin now.
Yeah.
And we're at the end of the first hour here, March 24, 2024. This is Wapito's special guest, Daniel Helfman. Hold tight for hour two. March 24, 2024, second hour, Walt from Pedro Show.
my gosh.
Show. Started the second hour off with New Fumes, Butterfly on a Wave, then Normal Hawaiians with Yellow Rain, band from early 80s, England. New Fumes, Laser Dreams, that's what you're talking about. Yeah, that's a great one, man.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I was reading about James Jamerson, you know, and that, those Motown things, and all those sessions, all those people coming, and basically I hear him trying to hook the drummer up with the singer. You know, that, but people got to understand this in a way about bass. You know, it's like, you know, you're going to paint a house. Well, there's trim. There's all kinds of, you know, you got to have that building first, though. You don't put the paint there without the build. You know, so.
Yeah, good have a foundation.
There. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Shiverboard, brand new. This tune, Angelina Shit Ton. And then finally, New Fumes with Engine Mouse. Mouse, in Pedro, mouse is slang for some kind of dick leech, parasite kind of thing. You know, yeah, side mouse. It was Georgie would talk, D. Boone, you know, would finish his chow first, and I wonder what that's like. You know what, French fries.
So everybody loves French fries.
Yeah, he had his slang. Georgie's great with slang, so side mouse. So when I saw this injured mouse, I was like, but you're probably talking literal, right? Because sometimes, yeah, if you don't run your car for a while.
Yeah, I literally was named after a dead mouse that was in my engine in my car. Not that the song's even about that per se. It was just I needed a title for the track.
Titles come?
When do they come?
Yeah.
They come in different ways and at different times. A lot of times it's because a lot of times the lyrics will just come to me as I'm listening to the groove or the whatever I just made.
Yeah.
But the lyrics just sort of, or at least the melodies and rhythms and some of the words come in, and I don't know, sometimes it doesn't even feel like it's me, it's just kind of coming through. And
so
then
when you say the words come in, you kind of write on demand, or do you have like a trove just waiting to be exposed?
No, they just kind of come in. Okay.
I got a tune, I heard that's the way Mick Jagger is. He waits till he gets in the studio and just starts writing as he hears the music.
Yeah, that's kind of how I didn't know Mick Jagger did that, but that's
well, I read somewhere. Yeah, he never comes in with lyrics.
Yeah, that's how it feels more natural to me to write like that, as opposed to writing a poem and then trying to apply it to music.
Yeah, because you know, this is what people ask me about: what's the difference between lyrics and poems? Lyrics go to music, and poems are their own music.
Yeah,
that's just for me. I'm not saying it's for other people's definition.
Well, that's a good point. I was thinking about that just the other day. Thinking of the difference.
And what about Butterfly on a Way?
That one started with the beat. I had the drum track from my friend Clay Stinnett, who's a super talented guy, an amazing drummer and amazing painter.
So what did you have him do? Just like start wailing?
And yeah, we
record
just
the whole thing?
There was a couple different studio sessions, one here in Dallas and one in Oklahoma City. And I just kind of let him go, and we just jammed for a while. And some of that, all of it was sort of recorded for the New Fumes album, but then a lot of the outtakes ended up being the Otherworlders album.
Oh, is that right? So it got repurposed. But it wasn't like, hey, Butterfly and a Wave, drum to that.
No, actually, that one, if I remember right, we got the mic set up and he just pounded it out and then seemed to work. And I just took the recording and was jamming to it later and edited a little bit. But I wanted to sort of leave, for the most part, I just wanted to leave his performance in there. And there's a break where I edit it and go into another thing but come back. But I wanted to leave it intact because a lot of times I'll just take his, he doesn't always stay steady. So I'll take some of the steady moments and loop those and write with that.
Okay. And what, Laser Dreams?
Laser Dreams was probably, I started that song the day that I finished the last album. Like I finished, or I felt like, okay, I'm done with this album.
Yeah.
Put it away. And then like I immediately just started working on the next one.
Ain't that a trip? Because it's like, God, I finally got this done. But then right away, you're hankering for another go.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't, like, I got to do this now. Like, I'm feeling it now. And I've been wanting to work on new stuff, but I've been chewing on this older stuff for a while.
Okay, I think this one here's got some collab, right? A Model of Free Will. Let's play.
Thank you. Show! 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 Pass it away!
chosen fire!
Explain the Trinity. Well, it can't be that difficult. You've been a Catholic all your life.
Well, here's the pitch. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The three are one. Like a shamrock. My priest used to say. Three leaves, but one leaf. Now, the Father sent down the Son, who was love. And then when he went home, he sent down the Holy Spirit, who came down in the form of a...
You told me already. A ghost.
No, a dove.
The dove was a ghost?
No, the ghost was a dove. And...
Let me try and summarise this. God is his Son, and his Son is God. But his Son moonlights as a Holy Ghost, a Holy Spirit, and a dove, and they all sent each other, even though they're all one and the same thing.
Got it.
What?
Wait. What I said... Does that make any sense to you?
Oh, no. No, and it makes no sense to anybody. That's why you have to believe it. That's why you have to faith. I mean, if it made sense, it wouldn't have to be a religion, would it?
My wife and I first got married, we were poor and we lived in a house that wasn't insulated, and so we had a gas heater on the inside to keep the place warm, but because there was no insulation, the walls sweat. And in the closets, especially where it was dark and stuff like this, we just had mildew everywhere. And you know what I did? Instead of taking something and cleaning it off and repainting or something, I took Deuteronomy chapter 28 and read it. Mildew, you are accursed. Then I turned it over to Galatians 3:13. I'm redeemed from you. And I spoke to mildew and cursed it. And did you know it went away without me having to clean it and do something? It was a curse. And I rebuked the curse and I got free from it.
Stand right here, please. Do you have pain right now? You need a surgery, don't you? The power of God's going to surge through your body. Stretch forth your hands. She's supposed to have a surgery to correct this hip problem. I have faith in God, come Holy Spirit, that right now she's going to be healed by the power of God and receive a brand new hip. Do it, Jesus. A brand new hip. Bam, 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 bam.
As Shirley... as I'm speaking by the Spirit of God, that is a word for a person right now, that is God penetrating your heart, it's burning on the inside of you, and you need to make a vow of faith of $1,000. Oh, couldn't you say 25? No! You can't make a $1,000 vow of faith. I'm saying in faith. So we got people that don't have teenagers that have hardly nothing going for them. They got enough faith to make a $1,000 vow and send them $5 here and $10 there as God begins to move like a whirlwind in their life. Can't have what's not seen until you get your eyes over what is seen. You can't see what's not seen until you let go of what is seen. And that's, I'm talking about your money, because your money is you. It's your blood, it's your sweat, your tears. It's driving down the freeways, it's going to work, it's believing, it's you. And letting go of it makes room for the new. See, I like a thousand, because I know I got you. I got you into faith. See, I'm teaching to enter into a covenant with God. There's a person that's read the book and you've not made a vow of faith. You need to do that right now. I mean right now.
You're going to come up to me and hug my neck and kiss me and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for getting that money out of my pocket.
So I want you to help today. Those that can give $1,000. So I want you to help today. Those that can give $1,000. So I want you to help today. Those that can give $1,000. To help us stay on the air.
For Pedro Show, that chunk of music started off Model Free Will, featuring Star Death and White Dwarfs and the Flaming Lips.
And what?
And what, yeah. Honorary New Fumes. Then we had Carl M. V. Wow, that's a name. A Song of Remembrance, Brighton, England. Going to Outer Space, Sorcerer, Song for Nevada Hill, that's New Fumes from the new album. Cam Delishambra from Aregius Phil Ben. I think you take the K out of punk rock, people, you got pun rock. And I think that's what's going on there. And then finally, New Fumes, an alleged shooting star, which is a kind of a Jerry Springer moment. I love it, man. Yeah,
that's funny.
It's some spiel, right? Source thing that went on. And John Cage, right? Anything can be music. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, fuck it. And but let's a Model of Free Will. What came? I mean, you had three, and then yeah, Watt from Pedro came in on the bass. But how did these collabs work?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I was in Oklahoma City hanging out a lot with the Flaming Lips and Stardust and White Dwarfs, because they're family basically. Like, one of the Stardust and White Dwarfs is Wayne Coyne's nephew, and he does a lot of the engineering for the Flaming Lips in their studio. So I mean, I was just. There was a period of time there where I was kind of living between Oklahoma City and Dallas, like working with them on different projects and then working my day jobs in Dallas and working on my music all in between and not ever sleeping. And then so that song really came out of, I was working with the bass player for Stardust and White Dwarfs one day. Just, he wanted to learn how to use Ableton Live. And I was like, here, I can show you some stuff. And we just started messing around with beats and bass synths and things like that. And this thing kind of started emerging as music. And then I was teaching about editing and how the synths worked and stuff. And then Wayne, you know, singer for the Flaming Lips, came in the studio and said, oh man, that's wicked. Let me sing on that. And then I think he opened up a book by Terrence McKenna, but I'm not sure. But I think he opened up
Hawaii,
a Terrence,
right?
McKenna book and just started, like, picking parts of whatever Terrence McKenna was saying. I think he changed it in his Wayne way. But
Mr. McKenna was kind of a proponent of shrooms and shit, psychedelic.
Yeah, and I don't think he's intending to be a poet, but I think he's extremely poetic in the way that he expresses himself.
Yeah.
With his words and stuff. It's kind of entertaining, if you can follow.
Yeah. Just say, okay, what about going to outer space, Sorcerer? Now, who is Nevada Hill?
Nevada Hill was a dear friend of mine. He's a local musician here in North Texas, an artist. Like, I collaborated with him on my first New Fumes album cover. Like, he hand silkscreened it. So he's like a silkscreen artist guy in town. He's had these cool improv bands, and he's always just working on stuff. Everybody loved him.
Past tense. Did we lose him?
Yeah, we lost him. He, at the age of 34, right after his 34th 34? Birthday, he died from melanoma. He had skin cancer that he had for a long time, and he just waited too long to go to the doctor because he didn't have insurance.
34, Charlie Parker. Wow.
Yeah, it was extremely sad, but that song came from, I was spending a lot of time with Nevada, going to visit him and hang out as he was getting sicker and sicker and less healthy. Cancer, eventually a tumor wrapped around his sciatica nerve. So
fuck.
And I'll just tell you this quick story that he...
you know that those skin cancers, something like 80% are under the skin, you know, you think it's skin cancer.
Yeah, it's freaky. Yeah,
because I had a buddy who's popped big tumor on his back, you know, where the shirt always was.
Yeah, that's where Nevada started. And he just waited too long and it... went through his lymph nodes and stuff. And
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Long story short, I was visiting him, and eventually he ended up in Houston at the cancer hospital there, and I was going to visit him as much as I could. And one time came back from Houston, which is about a four-hour drive. I was just really inspired to make some music, and I wanted to make something that would be... I was having a lot of feelings, you know, about my friend dying there. And then... I wanted to make something that would be entertaining to him instead of, like, I'm writing this sad song about my friend. I just wanted to be kind of a lighthearted, kind of funny thing. And so that's where that came from.
Wow.
And, you know, there's some, and we had talked quite a bit about, you know, death. And we were close enough to where I could ask him at one point. I asked him, I said, well, because there was a point where he's like, yeah, I'm not going to make it through this alive. And everyone knew it. And he said he was comfortable with death. So I asked him, I said, what's the one thing that pops out the most about life now that you're at this point in your life? Without even hesitating, and keep in mind, this guy couldn't walk. He had a tumor around his sciatic nerve, and he couldn't get up and use the restroom by himself. And it was horrible. And this guy, in so much pain, without even hesitating, looks me right in the eye and he says, positivity. Positivity is the most important thing.
That's beautiful.
And he had he explained how his patience for negative people and negative situations was shrinking.
Yeah,
and that positivity was very, very, if not the most important thing.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
And thank you for doing that.
For him.
Make a tune for him. Yeah. We're at the end of the second hour, March 24, 2024 edition. Well, special guest Daniel Huffman. Hold tight for hour three. March 24, 2024, it's third hour. Watch for Pedro Show.
Voyage à peu de frais, des fois c'est barge sur les berges, des fois on voit large, mais c'est un peu précaire. On parcourt des kilomètres en se disant que ce soir peut-être Angèle ou PNL joueront à plus de 500 mètres de la salle, du bar, de l'appart, du squat où l'on jouera notre set, où l'on fera sûrement la fête, et demain j'aurai mal à la tête. On sort des disques comme tout le monde, mais on n'en vend pas chaque seconde. Mais l'on se dit que le prix libre nous rend plus fort. Des fois, je me dis que le prix fort nous rendrait plus libre. Mais bon, c'est pas moi qui décide, c'est une bande de punk qui préside. On joue parfois devant des gens, des vieillards, des adolescents, et puis même des fois devant des gens normaux, genre des mecs de 45 ans, amateurs de musique et de rafraîchissant. Comment pourrait-il en être autrement? C'est le refrain maintenant.
Si vous aimez bien dormir par terre, avec le carrage, si je l'ai mouillé, c'est de la pierre. Et puis mon âge, c'est clair.
But part of, I found that part of my tears weren't about sadness, but about the beauty of life and kind of the brutality at the same time.
You know, one of the tunes we didn't talk about was an alleged shooting star. He said it was kind of Cajun in its musical part, but it's trippy how it followed that one. And then, like, to start off the third hour here, the void is not a void somewhere in time. You know, I think what Nevada left us, you know, that spiel about the positivity.
Yeah.
That's not gone. I'm going to carry that on.
Well, good. Yeah.
You know, I might put it in a tune.
Awesome.
You know,
beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Give me goosebumps.
Okay. Then we had Crane and Susan Lowell with The Banks of the River. New Fumes with Supreme Court. We've been born in the Kali Yuga. I mean, I really liked what you did with my bass on this one, man. And you're singing. Man. It reminded me of that Jameson thing where he ain't got a lot of time, right? They're doing all these tunes. But if he could put the drums, get Benny Benjamin in there with it, whoever's singing, you know, at the time, Smokey or whatever, take 142. There's one spiel I read where he said, you know, if I take 248, the groove started to get rigor mortis. Because they couldn't do samples in those days. It was like, do it again, do it.
Yeah.
Smokey. Okay. Seb Raddick's brand new from his album out of Lyon, France, Voyage, or Voyage, I guess. New Fumes, finally. Your own Vimana?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got to
It's a flying machine in ancient India.
Oh!
There's all these... I don't know if you noticed, there's a little bit of a UFO theme.
Yeah, a little bit.
And the last song is called Your Own Vimana, which the Vimana is a description of a flying machine in ancient India.
So, wow. And the Veda hymns are really old. So, yeah, maybe some, like, cradle civilization stuff. What about The Void is Not a Void, Somewhere in Time?
That one just sort of, you know, there wasn't a plan per se other than to make some music and make a song, and that just kind of came out.
Okay.
That's the best way I can describe it.
Like,
and there's some trumpet playing at the end. I had some,
a couple
friends, a guy named Alex Silva. He's actually the front house engineer, live engineer for Dan Deacon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I met him through Dan, and then he has a label called Canadian Duct Tapes, which put this album out.
Okay.
And he's an amazing composer himself. Alex Silva has some really cool albums out on his own label.
You know, you being at, you know, Denton is a music school, so I bet you your town has got a lot of cats.
Man, there's a whole lot of amazing musicians here. Alex and Dan actually live in Baltimore.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, there's
a happening scene out there. I had this cat named Doron. Oh, my God. He's got a thing called Network Glass. Man, it's beautiful. A lot of it's done in the edited. You know, he takes stuff and then reassembles, you know, kind of like a Maris thing from Dada. Okay, this Kali Yuga, is this the Kali from the India Hindu?
Yeah, my understanding of it, there's these cycles of time, 270,000 years or something. I don't know if I have the numbers right. I think there's some argument about when one starts and one ends, but there's these cycles, and then there's the Kali Yuga, which we're supposedly in. Some say we're at the end of it. Some say we're in the middle of it.
And it's kind of like a creation-destruction cycle, because Kali, I think, is kind of a... I know there was a thuggy cult where they were killing people for her.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but from what I understand from talking with my friends from India, is that the Kali Yuga is kind of this time where it's a kind of a time where the wool's been pulled over our eyes.
Okay.
There's a lot of deception and trickery going, like manipulations going on, and the truth isn't quite, you know, it's just kind of, it's a little more blurry.
Oh, okay.
On purpose.
Sure.
And that causes some upheavals, you know, in society, and there's struggles, but then supposedly coming out of that, there's like the, I don't know, Age of Aquarius or whatever, this opening up of the...
Well, like a farmer would tell you, if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure.
There you go.
And your own, and Vimana, yes, your own spaceship. Yeah, okay. You know, in a way, fucking music can be a vehicle.
Oh, that's kind of the point of your own Vimana. It's like, you can sort of be your own spaceship.
And that's the way you conclude the record. So it's almost, you know, we read left to right. So, like, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful because in a way you're handing the listener the geo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can get on. Joey from the Ramones singer told me, you know, punk's like, the movement's like a big fucking hay wagon. If you got something to offer, you'll get on.
Yeah, that's
I was,
awesome.
I was like, yeah, it was like an RFK stadium, you know, where the stage was like bigger than most pads I play.
and
the fucking sound man walked away after the first tune. I called him out on the mic, too. Football stadium, right? He walks away. Wow. Anyway, a beautiful album and a great way to sum it up. I'm going to play I want to play some three tunes now from this other project, Otherworlders. And now I realize there's a connect. So let's listen.
Thank you.
Walk for Pedro Show last music for this edition. Chunk started off with Otherworlders doing the PK Man. And Professor Eugene Chadbourne, Greensboro, North Carolina, doing Screw KKK. Otherworlders of Nemente. And then, good guess.
It's a made-up word.
Okay. It's one of them made-up, yeah, that's great.
Well, it means something. Okay. I've never heard it anywhere else. But
okay.
It's sort of like a word, ovni is the word, like in France or Mexico, for UFO, and mente is mind.
Yeah, okay, so UFO mind. And Tollum after that with the B-side. Yesterday I played the A-side, Worlds in a Life 1. This is side B. And then finally, Other Worlds with Copper Breaks Sky. Okay, so you gave us a little brief thing about Otherworlders, but this is like stuff that was left over from the new Fume album, and you collabing with different cats.
Yeah, Clay, the drummer, and I think it was 2018, probably around the time I talked to you last, and I just got a studio day. It's like, hey, let's go in there and jam, and I'm making a new Fumes album, and he agreed to whatever, and we went in there and jammed for about 45 minutes or something, and had it all on tape. And then I remember thinking, we liked the first jam as a whole, and then the rest of it didn't really, there were moments that were interesting, but then as a whole, it really wasn't that great. And then I just had that session in my hard drives for a long time. And a good friend, a trumpet player that the drummer on that recording with Otherworlders, and this trumpet player, and I used to play in a band called Ghost Car, local kind of improv group that was kind of based on the Miles 70s stuff. We're trying to do like that 70s Miles stuff mixed with like Sonic Youth or My Bloody Valentine, kind of like combo. That was sort of the idea. And then, but all improv. So with this Otherworlders, I had this session that was just basically just bass and drums. And then, years later, just this past summer, Carl Pechty, the trumpet player, was in town for some work. He had moved away for a long time, and he came back, and we were just hanging out, and I had him record on some stuff, and we were just playing, having fun, and I was like, oh yeah, I've got this recording that Clay and I did, and I played it for him. He's like, man, just play the whole thing, and just let me play over it. So he played basically twice through the whole thing, and then I just took it and edited the whole thing into the Otherworlders album, which is coming out in May.
Okay. Same label?
This is the first time people have heard it.
Oh, great, great. And I got to ask you this. What's next?
I've already got probably about 5 songs. And again, as soon as I finished the New Fumes Experiencer album, I, just like the last time, I just immediately started working on other stuff. And I have some tracks I didn't use on the album that maybe I'll work on some more.
But it's going to be New Fumes. Is there plans for another Otherworlder?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
My kind of idea with that is, like, Otherworlders isn't really a band where, I don't imagine...
Oh, it's like a Proj thing, right?
It's more of a project, and I know, like you were saying, there's pretty happening music school and music going on here.
Absolutely.
I feel like I know some of the most interesting musicians in the world, so I was just like, maybe I can make this a project and kind of bring all these different elements together in a project. It could be a recording project, but if we play, we can improvise. There's no stress. We don't have to go get band pictures.
Yeah, it's kind of an umbrella.
Yeah, it's fun. And I was thinking, if down the road, maybe I can combine New Fumes and Otherworlders into like a New Fumes live band and kind of blend between the two, do some improv. I don't know how it's going to work yet. It's just...
Well, look, the invite's open. As soon as you get something, you got 5 now, but when you get something ready, please come back on the show and we can play and talk about it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm really into it. I'm really inspired. I think...
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you've given me the geo. Thank you so much, Daniel, truly.
Awesome. Appreciate that.
Yeah, can't wait to have you back on. People,
thank you.
March 24, 2024, Dishwap Pedro shall keep you tired.